All right, that's good singing.
Amen.
You know what's so good about that singing? The subject.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the difference between real Christian music and what's going on in too many places.
Yes.
What we're singing about is scriptural.
Amen.
What we sing about is real.
Amen.
Amen. All my life, well, I was talking to Brother Brian today, all my life, all I wanted was something real.
Amen.
And he found me.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't even find him. I wasn't even looking. I didn't even know to look that way. And boy, the Lord worked things out. I'm glad tonight that I had a praying mother and father.
Amen.
The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I lived through things that guys around me didn't live through in those years. And sometimes I thought it's because I was so tough. And there are other times I thought I was lucky. And I found out after I came to Christ and came out of the fog of the garbage of that world that there's a lady, she's a gray-haired lady by then because I put those gray hairs on her head because she spent a lot of time on her knees praying for me. And I'm sure glad I did. I'm glad to be saved, and I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I'm going to thank you probably a couple times this week, but the fellowship and hospitality is second to none, and my wife and I appreciate it, and it is a privilege to preach anywhere, but it's a real honor to be here and welcome to such a degree. I mean, if you give me dirty looks and treat me bad, I'd still get up here and preach, and I'd still be glad I had a place.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it's easy, if basically we're on the same page,
Amen.
We want the Lord, that's what I want, that's what you want, He makes it easy. He makes it easier for me to look like I know what I'm doing. Amen. I got some of you fools, don't I?
Amen.
Amen. So let me read this little thing here. And we'll get to the Bible. There was three sons, and they were raised in a good home, and they went off on their own, and they all were pretty successful. And they would meet on occasion, and one time they got together and had lunch together, and they were talking about the gifts that they had recently sent their elderly mother. And the first brother said, I built a big house for our mother. And the second one said, I sent her a Mercedes with a driver. And the third son said this, the younger son said this. He said, well, you remember how Mom loved to read the Bible. But her eyesight's failing. And I tell you what I did. I bought her a parrot. That these elders of this church spent 12 years teaching this parrot the Bible. And all Mom has to do is quote chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite the Bible for her. Amen. So, they discussed that stuff, and they went out and on their own, and they got together a month later, and they had all received thank yous from their mother, and they were discussing them. And the older brother, his name was Milton. And his thank you said, Milton, that house you built is so huge, I only live in one room, but I have to clean the whole house. And then the second son, Gerald, I am too old to travel, Gerald. I stay home most of the time. I almost never use the Mercedes. And that driver is rude. He is a pain to have around. So the last son, Donald, he reads his thank you. And it said, Donald, that little chicken you sent was absolutely delicious. Take your Bible tonight and go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Even I haven't got that one. I've been trying to come up with something to get all the time. Alright, let's Romans chapter 1. And there's a verse I want to I'm going to key in on, but there's so much good stuff here. We're just going to begin at verse 18. Okay, 17. Okay, I don't know, verse 1. Where do you start? It's all good. It says this, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like the corruptible man, the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Regardless of what man does, the Creator is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, God, for folks that have come out on a Monday night. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving us something to say. And I pray that, Father, you'd help it make sense tonight so that you can use it. Because we need you to speak. And Amen. We pray that you would. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray you make it easy for them to see that this is much more than just about going to church and singing songs and even listening to the Word of God.
Amen.
It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and Amen. What he went to the cross for and what he's still in the business of doing.
Amen.
Forgiving sin.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus, for that heaven, that place they sang about. Thank you, Lord, tonight, that with all the bad news, I can say I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. I pray now, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But I pray that if you decide to tarry a little longer, that you just meet with us tonight, and we'll praise you for it in the name of my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. I tell you what, you can't escape the fact that we live in a day and age where the creature, amen, gets more recognition, more acknowledgement, than the Creator.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about, animal rights, let's say. I mean, people are so hung up on that kind of thing, and at the same time, this minority of folks, these atheists, amen,
yeah.
I tell you what, one guy said he's offended, and man, I'm going to tell you what, I just read a thing about it's a cemetery in North Carolina where they had a image, I can't think of the way you want to call it, like a cameo of a soldier praying to a cross, and the atheist that had a lawsuit going for a while, and they just threw in the towel, and they said, we're just going to lose more money, and they took it down, and here that whole thing was promoted by one guy who said it offended him, and man, the atheist separation of church and state rights lobby came in on his behalf. And I kept reading, and that city, not only to end that litigation, agreed to pay the association for separation of $500,000, reimburse their legal. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
Hey, what, we live in a damn age where the creature and that kind of thing get more recognition than God ever intended. And one of the things had to do with animal rights. I'm going to springboard off of that tonight because it talked about how they worshiped and served the creature. It seemed that, and I guess it's true, and I don't really care, but there are creatures that were once plentiful that are now threatened with extinction and they call them endangered species, and that's what I'll call the message tonight, sound people. Endangered species, and they created a list, and they have a website, and you can click on the website, the Federal Endangered Species website, and then click on whatever state you want, and it's an exhaustive list. They have a fan club. The endangered species. They have a, for lack of a better term, it's called PETA. PETA, you've heard of it. You know what it stands for. People eating tasty animals. That's what I thought. I got a teacher in the gift shop in Colorado, and I just thought that sounds good to me. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about endangered species tonight, but I don't want you to think that I don't like animals. I love animals. I love animals. They're usually right next to the mashed potatoes is where they belong. Amen. You know, what's your favorite animal? I have a dog. I like dogs, but my favorite animal is the cow.
Yeah.
Amen. I enjoyed one the other night. Amen. Up here in the restaurant. Amen. Listen, the animal rights people have loggers and, I guess you know about this, oil drillers in many places stopped in their tracks.
Yes.
Amen. I was driving through Missouri one year, and I got behind a log truck, and it had one of those bumper stickers on the back with a globe, and it said big letters, it said Earth First. And I thought that was a strange bumper sticker to be on a logging truck, because that's usually the people that are anti-logging. So I got a little closer, and when I got where I could read the fine print, it said, "We'll log the other planets next." Amen. Endangered species tonight. We've got a whole industry of scientists that study the changes in the animal world. And I just got to say that I made up my mind I was going to begin to study and observe some changes myself. But it's not about the animals. I've been noticing some things that were once much more common in the Church of Jesus Christ than they are now. As a matter of fact, there are some things that were much more common in recent history, amen, than they are now. There's some things that were just basic, foundational, fundamental things amongst Christians right out of the Bible that I'm talking about now. You almost find yourself on the endangered species list if you go after these things. Amen. Just for example, I've only been saved 24 years. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than that, which I know what that means. That means you've seen the same thing I've seen and more. And even more, there's a time just since I've been saved, it was much more common for people to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not as common as what was. I'm just telling you, I'm in a different church every week. I mean, now you gotta get a crowbar out and pry an amen out of people, let alone see people in the head that actually get excited and shout.
Right.
And I understand that the theatrics and some of that stuff can get phony, but man, I'll tell you what, I've already preached it this week, and within a week this long, you'll probably hear everything I know two or three times, amen? People get excited about what they love, and
amen.
There's a time to be lighthearted, and there's a time to rejoice, and there's a time to take it seriously, amen?
Amen.
Says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you what now. 20 years ago, and I'm from up north, okay? I'm not a Bible Belt guy. Are you guys in the Bible Belt?
Yeah.
Kind of over to the edge, right? And, well, it doesn't get more spiritual as you move west. You know that. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian, I preach in Arizona. All right? If you're not a writer, buddy, they don't even want you over there. Amen. There comes people. Thank God I get to go there. Amen.
I didn't mess up just now, did I?
Okay, amen. There's a time. Amen. You didn't have to pry people out of their seats on the altar. Came with a desire to hear from God. And if they did, I dare say when they did, amen, they would react. They would respond. They would react. Maybe it was to repent over something. Maybe it was to acknowledge something that God showed them. Listen, the Spirit of God would like to show you some things. Listen, if you come on here from God, it doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter what he preaches on.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord is not limited by me here tonight. If you want to hear from God, you will. And if you do, amen, feel free. But I tell you what, it's not as common as it once was.
That's right.
Lord, I've noticed now, there's a time when I got saved, they'd have evangelists come and they'd print out flyers and they'd have people, I'd say, put these up, invite people to church, people that say, well, I've got my own church to go to. Well, tell them, we're in church on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, and you guys, a lot more than that, even. And that kind of takes away some of their excuses. And they come. I remember when I first got the first meeting I ever, and I didn't even know what an evangelist was. And he's coming to town, and they gave me some stuff, because I was living in a really rough side of town. It was a better side of town than I lived in when I was lost. So I thought I was moving uptown. I found out later it's still pretty rough. They had better for me. They gave me a stack of flyers and said, hey, Brother Dave, why don't you go down and Wayne Avenue, and I'm going into tobacco shops and the pawn shops, and they, hey, can I put this flyer up? They're going, they knew who I was when I was lost. They go, yeah, man, and there's places, amen, where all of a sudden now there's a flyer advertising where there had never been a flyer. Nowadays, and I've heard it several times, I've heard it every service this week, you've been encouraged to invite somebody, you've been encouraged to bring somebody. Listen, if you do and they don't come, well, that doesn't mean stop inviting them. That's just the reality of the day and age in which we live. And I'm telling you, there's places they don't even invite anymore. Pastors are just hoping their own people will show up.
Yeah.
It used to be common to be faithful to your own church. Not as common as it used to be. You don't hear much about family devotion like you did when I first got saved. You don't hear anything about fasting, which I'm cool with, actually. Especially around here. I've been to more restaurants in the last 4 days than I have in the previous month. I'm not complaining. It's good, but man. Amen. I'm talking about some things in the body of Christ. They used to be much more common. Now, that's just the intro. There probably could be a long list. I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me to give you. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, real simple. Real simple little outline tonight. Every night, I'm a simple preacher. The gospel's simple.
Yes.
Lord made it easy enough for somebody like me to get saved. Lord made it easy enough for somebody like me to just sit down and shut up and open my ears and my heart and learn some things. Mankind makes this complicated.
Yeah.
Man complicates religion. Amen. They take what God made simple. It's not hard. It's all just what's going on right here. If you want to hear from God, you will. You can. He's not the one playing hard to get. Not even in this Laodicean church age with all the junk that's going on and everything the devil's doing. And God's not playing hard to get.
Right. Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, and he did, then we're all dead, and we were.
Yeah.
And then he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. And you say, you're not supposed to live unto yourself anymore.
That's Right.
That's what you did when you're lost.
Right.
That was okay. That's the only choice you had. But if you're saved, if you got it, you're not here for it, not here for living unto themselves, okay? But unto him.
That's right.
Him who? Which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
That's a pretty short list.
Yeah.
That's right. Only Amen. One person ever did it.
Amen.
Amen. So, number one tonight, on the endangered species list, and this was much more common in some of y'all's memory, and even in mine, it was much more common for people to get saved and then begin the path of living for God.
Amen.
When I got saved, the first thing that was told to me was, all right, now you get to live for God. I thought, what in the world does that mean? But I'm going to tell you what it means. Once you take the best God has to offer, the next step is learning how to live for God. And that's why he's given us the church. And that's why he's given us teaching. And that's why he gives us sound doctrine so that we can live for him, so that we can make a difference. You don't have to live for God to get saved. You just got to be honest enough to admit you're a sinner and acknowledge that he died for your sin. The Bible says, believe in your heart.
Amen.
What it says.
Amen.
But then what? You know, I got saved in jail, and when I got up from that prayer, guess what? I was still here on the earth. I was still in jail. Nothing changed here. A lot changed there.
Yes.
Yes.
A lot changed there, right here.
Yes, that's right.
So then I began, I had the first thing I told a preacher, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Well, I knew what not to do now. Just about 99% of everything I've been doing for the previous 37 years.
Yeah.
I didn't need anybody to tell me that most of my behavior would not be pleasing
right.
to the sinless Son of God.
Amen.
And I knew nothing. I knew that.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And I'm glad I had somebody that had enough sense to say, well, what you do now is you learn to live for God. But I'll tell you what, that's not as common as it once was.
Yeah.
People just take the best God had to offer and clock in at church whenever it doesn't conflict with their busy schedule. I wonder if some people are going to present their time card at the judgment seat of Christ like that's something they did for God by going to church. That couldn't possibly be all there is to being a Christian.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, living for God is impossible for the natural man.
Yes.
It's impossible. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 there, verse 14, that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
Let me tell you something, you got religions all over the world. I'm talking about you got religions in America, millions and millions of people. I'm talking about they're meeting in Jesus' name too, and they're not even saved, and they try to tell others they're living for God, and there's no way they can be living for God because the Spirit of God doesn't live in them.
Yeah.
Now again, that's religion. This concept of living for God is a foreign concept to the convert that gets saved and never, ever, for whatever reason, has the benefit of getting under sound doctrinal teaching. My friend and I were talking today. You know, he got saved and he got put in a church that taught him sound doctrine. I come out of jail. God put me in a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. I found out King James Bible, the Word of God, right away. I found out that I was eternally secure. My pastor taught I'm rightly dividing the Word of Truth for a year in Sunday school.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? I learned some things about rightly dividing, which opened the Bible up,
Amen.
Which took away the confusion.
Amen.
Amen. Which gave me an understanding. I'm not a Bible believer because of any great pilgrimage I took for the truth. God was merciful to me and put me in a place and put me among believers. And I thank God for it. And I don't want to take it for granted. But you know what? There's people that get saved and they never experience real Bible Christianity like
right.
that.
That's right.
proof that is, there's people in these kumbaya churches that maybe will end up in a church like this sooner or later. Amen. I mean, there's people in Catholic churches all over the country that if they want the truth in their heart, they end up in places like this.
Amen.
My wife is a Catholic. I've got friends that were charismatics. Amen. Some people have to go through some things to get to a place, but buddy, if you want the truth, God will give you the truth.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I think. If I'd have come out of the county jail back in 1990 and went to one of these churches that wasn't, amen, based on the Word of God, I don't think I'd have been around very long. I don't think I'd have put up with that. Amen. I needed something real, and God was good to me.
Amen.
But I tell you what, there's people that got saved in jail, and they didn't get out at all.
Yeah.
They didn't get out and get in the wrong church. They got shipped out to penitentiary. I'm going to tell you what, the ministry in many of the prisons is about as watered down as the military ministry, where you're so restricted you can't even say that Jesus Christ has any more power than, well, anybody else. The guys that got saved are just as saved as you or I. Well, I'll tell you what, boy, God saved you. God saved you and put you in a church and believed that book. God saved you and put you in a church, amen, where you've been told the truth. And the Bible says the truth will make you free. I'm going to tell you something. You need to get a hold of something right now. You've got an obligation to Jesus Christ to live for God. You need to live for God. I'm just telling you, man. I live for myself. I live for the devil. I live for the world. I live for the thrill. I live for everything but God. For almost 38 years, and for 24 I've been in church, and for 24 I've been in the book, and for 24 I've been trying to live for God. And I'm just telling you, this is better. This is more fun.
Amen.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about right now, of course, but I'm talking about, man, I don't wake up with the regret. I've only been in jail once since I got saved. That's a pretty good track record.
Say, what were you doing? I'll tell you later.
I come out with another message. I wasn't breaking the law. I was just being reminded that God had been good to me, basically. Living for God. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 12. I mean, we're supposed to, and it's common sense, and the Bible says to, but I'm just telling you, just like that endangered species list, there were things that were once more common, but there are few between now. It ought not be that way, but it is. You decide where you fit on the list. I hope you make the list, but a lot aren't going to make the list. They ought to. Romans chapter 1. All right, when you get there, go to 12, like I said the first time. I am not preaching on sin with perfection, because I don't have any idea of what it means.
Either one, sinless or perfection.
Either of you, who's laughing a lot? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, here's what Paul writes. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, rightly divide that. You'll see who he's talking to. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present. Present. When you present someone with something, you present somebody with an award, you present arms, amen.
Yes.
When you present, it means you give it to them. Amen. It's not alone. Amen. It's a gift. He gave you a gift. Amen.
Yeah.
And Paul is saying, I beseech you. Amen. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your what? Bodies. Bodies. Not money. Not time. Not your heart. You know, this kumbaya, that thing over in Houston. I'm going to go ahead. Amen. It's not what it says. It doesn't say, present your spirit. No, it says present your bodies. It's pretty cut and dry. It also says, and you know it to be true, which is your reasonable service.
Yeah, that's right.
Present your body. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it might mean live for God. present your body. That's the next step. That's what you're supposed to do. You got saved, best thing ever happened to you. And best thing ever happened to you, let alone your family, let alone your children.
Amen.
Let alone your testimony and love. So that's the best thing ever happened to you. How do you do? Present. Yield. Give. Amen. God's a gentleman, man. He won't make you. He won't make you. But I'll tell you what, it'll bless you if you do.
That's right.
Present your body as a living sacrifice. The Bible says, holy.
Well, what does that mean?
It's not a secret. It's not up for discussion either. Right there. That's going to tell you what holy is and what unholy is.
That's right.
Amen. And what's acceptable to God and what's not acceptable to God.
Yeah. Man, that's why I gave the book.
Why the devil's words are hard to de-emphasize the word of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I thank God. I didn't know anything about a vital issue. Amen. And boy, God was merciful to me. He said, this idiot will blow it. If he will not wade through 14 different versions, I better put him in a King James Bible believing church. And he did. And I'm glad he did.
Amen.
Verse 2 tells you how to do it. Verse 2 tells you how to get started. He said, present your body, living sacrifice, and then he says, be not conformed to this world. Step number one.
Amen.
That word conformed, I'll look it up in Webster's 1828. It's got several definitions, and one of them, I think the second one, is this right here. Conform means to reduce to a likeness of, in manner, appearance, opinion, or moral qualities. To reduce? You know, when it says, do not conform to this world, do you realize that as simple as this, beloved, that to be conformed, for a child of God, amen, to be conformed to this world is a serious step down.
Amen.
Step backwards.
Amen. That's true.
And why in the world would you not make every effort to make sure you're not conformed to a world that hates you, that hated our Savior, that'll chew you up and spit you out, that will never be your friend? Boy, I'll tell you what, our guard ought to be up to make sure we're not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Conversely, there's another verse that says we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
The two are incompatible. If you're ever going to live for God, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. If you're ever going to live for God, you're going to have to make a conscious decision to step away from anything in your life that might hinder it.
Amen.
That Bible says,
amen.
Denying ungodliness and worldly lust.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 2, Daniel purposed in his heart.
Yeah. Yes, again.
That he would not defile himself. You know, it would have been real easy to defile himself. It would have been real easy to go with the flow. And would God have loved him just as much? Yeah. But he loved God enough, he says, you know what? We're going to have to draw a line. Gee, here's a concept. Draw a line in the sand. Can anybody in San Antonio, Texas relate to that illustration?
Yes.
Time for us as Christians to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I'm going to live for God, and if I cross that
Amen.
Line right there, I'm not going to be denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And bless God, come hell or high water, with the Lord's help, I'm going to live right.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not magic. It doesn't just, you got to make a point. You got to work at it. Amen. Not always easy. And I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you one. There are things that you may have to fight all your life. You know, there's bad habits I had for years and years, and the took them away just like that.
He really did?
Yeah.
And there were things that didn't go away quite so easy. And there are some things that required a lot more prayer and a lot more work and a lot more grief. And then God delivered me from some things. But when it talks about Hebrews chapter 1 and lay aside every weight and not sin which does so easily beset us, we all got areas. Every man is tempted, it says in James chapter 1. You do well to identify where your weakness is.
That's right.
What your weak is. You do well to identify it and put an extra measure of prayer and get people to pray with you, pray for you, whatever it is. Listen, we haven't arrived until we arrive.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some things you just may have to fight all your life. Yeah, people get discouraged, pews are empty. No, I just couldn't get victory. Well, that's because you're quit, that's why.
Yeah.
It says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again.
Amen.
And I guess the definition of an unjust man is somebody that falleth seven times and stays down.
Amen.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's not acceptable. We're talking about endangered species night. We're talking about living for God. Yes, and let me give you a Dave Spurgeon theological equation. When your mind be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove whether that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, this is what makes sense to me. When your mind gets transformed by the renewing power of the Word of God, your body will follow.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why it's in the verse together. It's not, present your body like sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Let's do what's to live in the world. So is mine. So accept it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to say it again. When your mind gets transformed, as thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When your mind gets transformed by the word of God, your body will follow.
That's true.
That's the secret. That's the secret to victory.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not a secret. That's in the Bible over and over. Why would it be a secret? I'm going to tell you something, though. I know you're impressed, Adam. I know you're impressed with that deep theological concept. You know what? That's not deep. You know why? Here's what I know about people. My experience. People do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's hard. It doesn't even matter. People figure out how to do what they really want to do. Man, you can't stop us, the Americans. You can't stop us. We'll figure out a way.
Yep.
So I'm telling you what that means. The reason you're not living for God and the reason you're not getting the victory that they're telling you is because you really don't want it.
You're right. You're right.
Because if you did, you couldn't. I'm not saying it's not hard sometimes, but man, hey, it's a good fight. Fight!
Yeah.
Live for God. It shouldn't be. Folks, I'm talking about washed in the blood of Lamb. Shouldn't be so hard. But it must be. Because I travel around and fewer. Thank God. Thank God that even in the land of teenage, thank God in every dispensation, God had a remnant that refused to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the run.
Amen.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any reason I will be automatically. I got to stay humble. I got to stay in the book. And I got to stay around others.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. That's why I'm here this week. I need you more than you need me. I don't mean I'm refunding any of the offerings. I'm assuming I'm going to get one. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, endangered species, number one, people that will live for God. This endangered species thing's crazy. I was in a little church in Tallahassee, Florida. Little church, little congregation. I've been going there like 16 years. First time I went there, there was like six people. The preacher's sons were in high school, and one of them had a girlfriend, and now that. And I've been going back to that church every year, ever since the late 90s. And I watched them grow up, get married, and have a bunch of kids. And I watched the fuse fill up and empty out two times that many years. Little block building, 30 feet wide, maybe about 40 feet deep, little small church. And boy, they were kind of doing pretty good there for a couple of years in a row and had saved up some money. They didn't have a baptistry. Amen. They're using a horse trough. It is. I'm going to take a picture of yours and send it to them, because that's a cool back. Did Brother Brian ask on Sunday if anybody wanted to be baptized? I looked at my wife and said, is it like 29 degrees out here? I wonder why. You know, who volunteered to chip the ice off them for that? They saved up their money, and they wanted to build a baptistry. They wanted to, they had a horse trough out in the yard, metal one to give them tractor supply. That works. But they wanted to put in one, and all they wanted to do is knock out the back wall, 30 foot wide, knock out part of the back wall behind the pulpit, and build a baptistry in there like some churches have. And so, you know, then you got to go to the city, and then you got to get a building permit. What a rip. All often. Anyway, so they do that. They go down and they say, okay, how much is it going to cost? We want to extend 10 feet. Concrete block, man. They don't have insulation. It's Florida. 10 feet by 30. What's it going to take? And they say, well, before we can even consider issuing you a building permit, you have to have an environmental impact analysis done. Yeah. And $5,000.
Yeah.
$5,000 to send out somebody. So they said, forget it. But that doesn't even mean you're going to get the building permit.
Okay.
So they said, forget it. They bought new curtains, new hymn books, recovered their pews. The church looked great. They still use a horse trough. Yeah. So I go there, they tell me the story, and I just shake my head. That doesn't surprise me, not this. But I walked out there, and I walked around the end of the church, and they had the property. And I stood there in the middle of that 10 by 30 area that they wanted to make part of their church. And I stood there, and I just shake my head. And to be fair, and it's so important to me to be fair, I look down, and a chameleon. You guys know what those are?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. A chameleon ran across the toe of my boot. Yep. If they built a bathroom here, you'd have to move. Yep, that would impact him. At the same time, I mean, in all fairness, I thought, that old lizard probably couldn't have said to move over about 15 feet on the back of the building, and I don't think he'd care. Endangered species. What would we do without a couple of them lizards? I don't know. But they never did it. They never did it. Endangered species. There's some endangered species in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Take a Bible from John 15. John chapter 15. We'll read verse 5. Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. No, it's not 5. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Lord speaking said, herein is my Father glorified. That means this is a good place to pay attention. He's getting ready to say something that's pretty important. I mean, if he's got a desire to glorify God, he tells you what glorifies God. It doesn't start with a kumbaya.
Yeah.
Here it is, my Father glorified that ye, talking to believers, bear much fruit.
Okay.
So shall ye be my disciples. Fruit bearing glorifies God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And I'm just going to say that in this day and age, it seems to be on the endangered species list, Christians who bear, it says much, bear much fruit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time where it was more common, but it seems like every year, and I'm not saying people don't still get saved, but less and less. Less people seem to find, seem to be making that a priority to make the effort. Let me illustrate something here with Mark chapter 4. You've got the parable of the sower, and you've got the Lord explaining the parable now to the disciples. And in verse 14, he begins the explanation. He starts by saying the seed is the word of God. And he names the four types of ground, and I'm not going there. But verse 15 talks about the wayside, and about it, it says, Satan cometh immediately. And we already went over that here one of these days. Satan cometh immediately, and there's no fruit from that. And verse 16 talks about stony ground, and it says, they receive it, but have no root. Have no root in themselves. And it says they're easily offended. I'm going to say, my Bible says, great peace of they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
I got to say, man, Christians are about the most easily offended people I ever met. I'm sorry, everybody in the old days, man, we could, I won't say what we were doing, but we'd get mad and fight and go back in and carry on and make up for it and get over it. I'm talking about fist fight. I'm talking about black eyes and bloody lips and get over it. Christians, man, you say the wrong thing or don't say the right thing or give somebody a look that they might misconstrue completely. And man, I'm gonna tell you what, you got an enemy for life.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's right.
That's stony ground. They receive it, but they don't take no root. They're easily offended. Verse 18 talks about thorny ground. And it said the cares of this life. Cares of this life. Amen. Let me look at it, because I don't have it. No. What does it say? Adam, you got it right there? I know you're looking. Yeah, thorny ground, verse 18. I'll be there in a second. If you can help me, go ahead.
And because they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and compared to this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes
thorny ground. They hear it. Cares of this world. You know, it says over there, we like that verse over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But the next verse says, no man that warreth. That's what soldiers do.
That's right.
Not just show up at the formation. Yeah. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the what? Affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that are pretty entangled in the affairs of this life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know what, that, I know guys, they know more about what Sean Hannity thinks than know what Jesus thinks.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a place for that on my list in the Rush Limbaugh, I'm driving around in a car. But, you know, let's keep that stuff in perspective, man.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I know guys that'll corner me at a church and start running off all this conspiracy stuff. I say, wow, maybe so. Who cares?
That's right.
I said, I told one guy, I said, man, if I knew as much of my Bible as you know about that stuff, I could do more for God.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, what about you? You think maybe if you knew as much Bible as you know about that stuff, maybe he could bear some fruit?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because he left us here to bear fruit. Yeah. That was the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. America's been blessed to its detriment.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, man. You know, and we complain because they're missionaries. And I'm not talking about yours or maybe even American missionaries, but you'll get letters from India or different places, and it's like, oh, can you please help? And it's like, what do they think? What do they think? We're rich? Yuck.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are.
Yeah.
Compared to about 99% of the world.
That's true.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the deceitfulness of riches.
No, I've only got two cars, you know.
Yeah, oh.
Then it said the lust. Lust
of other things.
Yep. Boy, we have been wired to desire
things we don't need.
We are the target of a marketing campaign. You drive by a car lot, there'll be 200 brand new Ford pickup trucks on the lot. I'm thinking, is it possible that they're going to sell that many? 40 or 50,000 dollars. I'm not talking about San Antonio. I'm talking about little towns in the south. I'm talking about Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, where I'm from. They had 100 pickup trucks. Amen. How in the world are they ever going to? Because, man, and people watch television, and their trucks are a year and a half old, and they got to go. God, they put me in a position where I cannot be tempted by those things. Because it doesn't matter. I've learned to be content. How do you learn that? I stay broke. It helps. The truth be known, I got, listen, when I got saved, the feds raided my home, and they towed away a Corvette and some Harleys and a monster truck and everything I owned, and I went to jail, and they gave me a little blue uniform that didn't even have a pocket, which didn't matter because I didn't have a dime left. Yeah. And I had nothing. And a guy gave me a Bible.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, jail, that's a big deal. I had a Bible. And I would go to church, you know, a couple of times, and I got saved.
Amen.
And I got out.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, 24 years ago. I got a house. I got two sheds in the backyard so jammed full of stuff. I don't even know where all this stuff comes from. And I started over at 38.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lots of other things, you know.
We're having a garage sale. Come on up. You know what we do after a garage sale? My wife and I, when we get the bug to clear out the junk, we put it out in the yard. We had my daughter sit out in the yard at the table. We said, all the money that comes in from this garage sale, you can have. And she would have a tape player going with Christian music and gospel tracks. And when it didn't sell, we gave away. We took the gun. Well, get this junk out of here. That was before eBay. Which we don't know how to use very well. What are you saying? Thorny ground, man. You can get saved in those things. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lots of other things, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And we're talking about being fruitful. We're talking about bearing fruit. You can get saved. You can get victory. You can clean up your life. I'm going to tell you that you're supposed to live for God. You're supposed to endeavor to learn how to live for God. And if you will, and if you'll try, get what? You'll bear fruit.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. If you'll bear fruit, you'll glorify God.
Amen.
Amen. He deserves it. The last one on the list, verse 20, Mark 4, it said this, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, listen, I'm looking around this room. Don't some of you consider yourself to be good ground?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not setting you up.
Amen.
And of course you're good ground. You heard the word. You received the word. Amen. It took root. It bore some fruit. Amen.
Amen.
The next step is bearing much fruit. And it says, some 30, some 60, some 100. What's that tell you? Everybody doesn't bear the same amount of fruit.
Right.
But everybody ought to be bearing some.
Amen.
I know some guys, man, they're
soul winners, and I know some people that are prayer warriors, and I know some people that are just co-laborers, whatever. And that's, the Bible says it's a process that we all work together. We're co-laborers with God.
Amen.
We ought to be involved somewhere, and something to have to do with getting the gospel in the hands of somebody. Amen. Well, some people it's a nursing home, some people it's a jail, some people it's a street. And there's all kinds of things. But man, I tell you, where church gets stagnant and when church members get critical is when they sit in church and hear the preaching and they're in no way involved in any way of getting the gospel out. They turn their sights on each other and they get cold and they get critical.
Right,
and I see it happen all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's get involved doing something. Something!
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not saying you need to go. I'm saying ask God what to do.
Yeah.
Our problem isn't that God is not telling us this. Our problem is we're not asking.
That's right.
I keep saying it, man. I'm going to say it again. The problem with not this church age is we act like we're doing God a favor by showing up at church once in a while, by not doing all the things that we got on this list, and then we do some things that we got on this list, and we think that makes us a consecrated, sanctified child of God. Man, that's the definition of religion. Going by the list. This is personal. It's a personal relationship led of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If you're led of the Spirit of God, you'll bear some fruit.
Amen.
Because that glorifies Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, here it is, my Father glorified. We need to be, well, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we're supposed to bear fruit. The Lord left us here to bear fruit. John chapter 4 says the fields are white already to harvest.
Yes,
and boy, they are, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
It also says in Matthew chapter 9, the laborers are few.
Amen.
Right. Not the endangered species list.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a big deal these days about endangered species. I'm just telling you. People that get saved live for God's on the list. Amen.
Yes, right.
People that get saved and bear much fruit. It's on the list.
Yeah.
Why, we're in the last days. Amen?
Yeah.
I was in Pensacola, Florida. A couple years ago, I'd been there at a meeting. Our daughter flew in to be with us at a meeting. And after it was over, we wanted to go out by the water on the Gulf there. And Christians don't go to the beach. You know that, right? Christians go to the coast.
Some do go to the beach.
So we're gonna go out there by the Gulf of Mexico and boy, I'll tell you what, late September you can go out a couple of miles, there's nobody there, and you can just walk. My wife loves to walk on the beach. You take the dog runs, there's no people there. Beautiful guys, wow, let me see. Oh yeah, that's right. God made it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh man, he has made a beautiful creation.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna go out there. I got my daughter, wife, and that little 22 pound Jack Russell Terrorist dog we got. And so, but you know, there's seafood. We like seafood. There's a place there, right there at Pensacola Beach. Good seafood, open air restaurant. You're sitting outside, you know, under a thatched hut or something. And we're in there. Park the car, lock the car, go in, order some shrimp or something. We're on our way. They were sitting there, and then a couple of policemen come in. You know, there was a time when Dave Purgeon, well, I don't know, I wouldn't say like scared, nervous, but when I saw cops come in, I started doing inventory. Where did you go to pistol? Where did you go to pistol? Hey, it's a good feeling to see a cop come along and not have to worry about nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't appreciate that as much as I do. When I see a policeman and I don't get nervous, I know I'm saved. There are these cops are, and my wife and I, we've lost our hearing. I attribute to machine guns and loud music and motorcycles, straight pipes, and I did a lot of damage. Oh, you know those things they told you when you're a kid about, you gotta run your hearing.
They were right. And I did.
Now my wife, I don't know what her excuse is, because when we got married, she can hear fine. Right, honey? I don't know what she'll hear. We live in an RV, 7 feet away, she goes. She used to say that. Now she doesn't. Well, the cops come in, and her and I don't hear anybody saying anything, but my daughter can hear them say, "Cat, you're asking about a blue Jeep." And I said, "Oh, no problem." I get up, I go to the police, I say, "I got a blue Jeep." And they said, "You got that big old rack on the top?" And I said, "Yes, sir, that's mine." And he said, "Well, we got a problem." And I said, "Okay, what's the problem?" He said, "There's a dog in the car." And I said, "That's good, because I left one in there." The policeman was cool, the policeman was professional, not a problem. He wasn't an idiot. He said, "There's a dog in the car, and we got a call that somebody's worried about the dog." And I said, "Well, officer," I said, "that's my dog. I love my dog." Right? The man regards the life of his beat.
Right.
I said, "Did you notice? Did you look in? Did you see he has a bowl of water there?" And it wasn't even that hot. It was like in the 70s. It was overcast. He said, "Yeah, we saw that. But when we get a call, we have to respond."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "If you can come out there and roll the windows down a little bit, then we'd be good." I said, "Okay." So I go out with the police, no big deal. Till I get outside the restaurant, and there's a crowd of cats around my Jeep. And I'm looking around, and they're like, they got this look on their face, like this dog is melting in the sun. And I'm going, "You've got to be kidding me." And what made it worse is that dog was playing it for all that. That dog, he was on the driver's seat with his little paws on the steering wheel, and he looked like he hadn't had a drink of water in a year, and he's looking at these people out of the corner of his eye, and they're all poor dogs. And I opened the car and I said, "Me and you's gonna have a dog." That's the best cared for dog in the world. Amen. So I do the thing up at the can, I lower the windows, the crowd's all looking, and I get ready to shut the door, and this woman, don't you know, she says, "You should take better care of your animals." Now I know who the perpetrator is. Now I know who called the cops. Now I know who's rounding up this crowd of people. I didn't respond to her. I don't respond to women. I mean, that was a big old. Is my wife? Is that what I'm supposed to say? I'm not going to argue with a woman. She had about a 6'2" gorilla looking idiot with her. Am I supposed to, though? And you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, I'm talking to men.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm going to rethink that one. I looked at that guy, she said that, and I just looked at him, and I pointed at him, I said, "You need to mind your own business, pal." You know what that guy said to me? He said, "I'll come over there and kick your blankety blank, blankety blank." He didn't know me. He didn't know anything about me. And that's why he decided to open the conversation. And I stepped away from the car, slammed the door, and headed over. I said, "You got the easy part done, pal."
Yeah.
I said, "If anything moves on you besides your lips, it's time to put it in motion." And he's like, and the cop turns around and goes, "Is there a problem?" I said, "No, I don't think so." Well, I don't know what happened there for a minute. I think it's called getting in the flesh.
Yeah.
Anyway. here's the deal. Here's why I tell the story. People like that, they're so worried about a little dog locking a car or some stinking seal washing up on a beach somewhere. Those are the people that are pro-abortion.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are anti-God.
Yep.
That's the crowd, and that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 1. They're worshiping and serving the creature.
Amen.
And we're talking about creatures. We're not talking, even talking about people. Yep. That's what got that illustration on this message. Endangered species, last of all. Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. See, now I'm going to have to figure out a way to make it up to the women of our night. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
You're in trouble.
I'm comfortable there.
I know.
Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, the Bible says this. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
That's right.
None? That right there is one of the saddest verses in the entire King James Bible.
That's right.
When I look at that. Last of all tonight, endangered species. Groups that used to be more prevalent in the church than it is these days. People that are willing to step up to the plate when a need arises. You follow me? You know what I'm trying to say? I'm going to clarify it. You know, when I was in the motorcycle gang, the feds targeted our leaders because the mentality was this. If you cut the head off, the body dies. That worked with snakes.
Yeah.
That doesn't work with criminal organizations. Why? Because there's always somebody willing to step up to the plate. There's always someone willing to step in. Here's what I noticed traveling around in the churches. There's usually no lack of talent,
right.
No lack of skill, no lack of ability.
That's right.
What there is, however, often is a shortage of folks that are willing to come out of their little comfort zone to step up to the plate and meet a need.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. And preachers say, we need somebody to go here, or we need somebody to fix this, or we need somebody to do that, and he's got to stand there, and maybe somebody, I know it's not that way every time, and I know it's not that way everywhere, but I'm seeing it way too much.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We got to analyze everything. Let's tell you something. Now I travel coast to coast. And years ago, I had a Greyhound bus caught on fire and burned up. Well, just keep going. Our ministry wasn't about a RV anyway. So, but back then, even fuel prices were higher. And that thing was very inefficient. Is that right? And I got a call from Hinckley, Minnesota. Anybody ever heard of Hinckley, Minnesota? Besides my wife, thank you, dear. You have? Okay, well, that's good. Hinckley, Minnesota is where again, brother? Okay, I'll help you out. 100 miles north of St. Paul. And my schedule didn't take me anywhere near there. The guy said, Brother Spurgeon, we got your name. We heard a message. Would you please come up and preach? I said, hey, man, I'm an evangelist. I'd love to, but I also try to be wise in scheduling. And I said, brother, you're a long way from any place I'm ever near. So you make it a matter of prayer. I'll make it a matter of prayer. And the Lord will work it out if I'm supposed to be there. And I believe that. And I operate like that still. So a year goes by, then I go on Friday night where Hinckley is. And it's way up there. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. So I pray about it, and I forget about it, like we do. And a year goes by, and he calls me again. And I said, hey, brother, and it takes a couple years usually to get on my schedule. So it wasn't any big deal. I didn't feel like I did the guy wrong. I said, hey, brother, nothing's really changed. I'm not anywhere near there. And I said, keep praying. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show me. Well, I was at Brother Beach's church, and later that year, just a couple months after that call, I was in New York City for about a month, and my next stop was Denver, and I had four or five churches in Colorado. And I had a week to get all the way across the United States, and that's not no big deal. And I'm sitting there looking at the map, and I'm praying, and the Lord said, wow, what about that guy in Hinkley? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, I'm going to go across 80, that goes through Joliet, under Chicago, and across Iowa. And it's still 500 miles up to Hinkley. 500 miles one way.
Right.
Out of my way. So the Lord kind of reminded me of that church, and I'm going, Lord, you know, I'm calculating fuel and everything. And I'm saying, do you want to pray? Then, boy, Lord, that's a long way out of my way. And I don't know if we can. You know what? I really felt like the Lord impressed me with this thought right there. Your way? When did you get away? I thought you surrendered your life to me.
Yeah.
I thought you said you'd go wherever I sent you.
Yeah.
I thought you said that you'd do whatever I said. What in the world? When did you get away? I'm going to tell you what, man. That's all it took for me. I used to be a hard-headed rebel. If I believe it's God, I got on the phone with that guy and I said, hey, I can be there this week. Do you want to meet him? Yes. Then he called me back and said, Brother Burton, you're in that bus and the only campground up here is up on the Indian Reservation. I said, well, that's no big deal. And then he said, well, it's in the casino parking lot. And I said, it's the only campground in the place? And he said, yeah. I said, no problem. Book me a slot there. So I go there, and everybody there, and I got 2 Chronicles 7:14, 13 feet wide on both sides of this bus, and a big American flag. I got Acts 16:31 across the back of the bus. I got Jesus Saves on the roof from when I'm going through Brooklyn, and I honk the horn, and I can make everybody on the bridges look and say, Jesus Saves. I said, I get them people going to the casino. They need some gospel too. And boy, I parked in the middle of that campground, and when they're getting out with their little Bermuda shorts and their polo shirts, and they're on their way to the casino, and my wife and 3 kids are piling on that bus with our Sunday best and our Bibles, and we're getting in the church, and getting in the Jeep to go to church, and we're all smiling, and they're all looking down, man. And I says, I bet you we can make them feel more uncomfortable than they're going to make us feel.
Yeah, right.
I went there and I preached. You know what that church was? It was a car wash. It was a little drive-through spray converted car wash. They had about 8 people. I drove 500 miles to go up there and preach. A couple of people drove up from the Twin Cities, so I met some new people who I still preach for every other year. I made some precious, precious friends up there in Minnesota. That church folded 2 weeks later. That didn't fold, the pastor resigned. It wasn't my fault. Yeah, they told me, they said, Brother Spurgeon, Brother so-and-so resigned. If you're still in the area, when you come fill the pulpit, by then I'm in Denver. I was street preaching where was it? Mount Rushmore. Oh yeah, I got it on the flag folding ceremony, and I'm down there with 400 people. I go, okay, and I let loose, man. But anyway, I went on. I was in Denver. I said, sorry, I can't. I'm committed now. About a month later, they said, Brother Spurgeon, would you consider coming up here and candidating to be our pastor? I thought, let me think. I said, first of all, I know what God's called me to do.
That's right.
I've been a full-time evangelist for 18 years. Never crossed my mind to find a pastorate. I just know where God wants me.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think, and Lord willing, and I speak as a fool with every other little phrase I can think of quick. If I ever considered pastoring a church, I seriously doubt if it'd be 100 miles north of St. Paul, Minnesota. They have two seasons. Two seasons. July and winter. That's it. I go there in July, actually. You know, over in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?"
Amen.
Okay, verse 8, I'll read it right. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then you get Isaiah saying, "Here am I." Then said I, "Here am I, send me."
Yeah.
What? No prayer? No survey trip? No questions about where are we going? Where, Lord? How long? What's the economy? How's the food? How much support? None of those questions. I mean, he just, what would cause a man to have that kind of blind faith? Well, the answer's in the verse. He had just got a glimpse of the king.
Yeah, right.
And when he got a glimpse of the king in chapter 5, he is, "Woe unto thee, woe unto thee, woe unto thee, woe unto thee." But when he got a glimpse of God, he said, "Woe is me."
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what will keep every one of us in our place. Regardless of the wickedness going on around us, and there's no denying it. But I'll tell you what, we'd all do well to get a glimpse of the king now and then.
Amen.
Keep us in our rightful place. The Bible still says before honor is humility.
That's right.
Amen. When the preacher says we need somebody to do this, are you on the list that says, "Here am I, send me," or do you have to know all the details? Or the first thing starts going on, the wheels start turning of the excuses. And I see this stuff all the time. And it goes on all the time.
Yeah.
And if it goes on here, and that goes on with you, well, you didn't get that thing right.
Amen.
Because bottom line is, this is a living organism that works together.
Amen.
And people need to work together. You guys seem to be doing that. I'm watching the sound men, the song leader, and seeing to have people trained. That's good. Because in Ezekiel's day, he said, "But I found none." Yeah. At least in Isaiah's day, there was one. What about today?
Yeah.
We're talking about endangered species in the body of Christ tonight. We're talking about something as simple as living for God. Or at least trying to. I know it's a struggle. But I'm reminded of what Paul said in Galatians 2. And in verse 20, he said this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me."
Amen.
That's our pedigree right now. We're alive because he died.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
All right? So to live for God, you're going to have to die to yourself. Here's the problem. It's too often the case that the only one that's doing any dying is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you're ever going to live for God, you're going to have to put some things on the line. You're going to have to draw that line in the sand. And you're either going to have to step away from something, or you're going to have to make a commitment. And you're going to have to put purpose in your heart. And if you will, you'll bear fruit that go hand in hand. You'll look for opportunities. You'll be ready for opportunities.
Amen.
You don't have to bring everybody to the priest. You don't have to bring everybody. I mean, it's good to invite them to church, get them into the priest. Now listen, man, anybody that's been saved very long ought to have a gospel tract handy. Ought to be able to. I mean, he didn't tell the madman of the dare to go to a soul winning class. He said, "Tell them what happened to you."
Yeah, right.
Amen.
That's right.
And if anything happened to you, you ought to be able to tell them.
Yeah.
How about willing to step up to the plate? You know, here's what you see traveling around. A lot of people are willing to volunteer for the spotlight.
Yeah.
Amen. What about all that other stuff? The stuff nobody wants to do. But everybody expects to get done. I'm going to tell you what, it's rarer and rarer that people come out of their little comfort zones and do the things that they do. Endangered species.
It's sad that the basics have become the exceptions. And I get it. I get it. Time to change. And, but to a large degree, we want that.
Amen.
You know, in a football game, when the quarterback throws a pass, and it's right on the money, right there in the hands of the receiver, and the receiver drops the ball.
Yeah.
You can't blame the quarterback.
Yeah.
There's areas, beloved, in which we have dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Don't you dare try to blame the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Endangered species. You know what the most endangered species is? It isn't spotted owls or any of that foolishness. It's the human race.
Yeah.
Set over in Matthew 7, enter into the straight gate, the widest gate, broad way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in there.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, in spite of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, most people are still going to end up in that lake of fire. And it's God's fault.
Yep.
He's not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
The Bible says in the next verse, go straight as a gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth on the way. Few leadeth on the way. Boy, I'll tell you what, I marvel on a regular basis that I made it, and somehow this wicked dope had made it to the most elite few on the planet. And a bunch of you did too.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all did or not, but I want to illustrate that. I've been using Adam on my thinnest son. You can put your iPad down. The Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Let me ask one time. How narrow is it? I'm not sure. You see that right there? That's how narrow the way is. It's one man wide.
That's right.
Single file.
That's right.
Behind Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how narrow it is.
Amen.
Are you on your way to heaven?
Thank you, son.
Are you on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Are you saved tonight? Because the only thing that will get you off the most endangered species list there is, the human race, is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Plus nothing, minus nothing.
Amen.
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 Let's all stand. Endangered species, I hope that you make this list of folks that are sold out and trying to make a difference. If not, well then now you know what's going on. So you listen to the Pastor Tim K. You're not saved. Don't you leave that thing. Don't you leave that. Turn to 243. See what we're singing tonight. You know, you just might have been touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And I know what needs to be said. Don't walk out those doors back there. Don't get in a rush. Respond to the Holy Spirit of God. Because it is a rare thing that God touches your heart.